setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. It's all about you because you were created to fill a unique role. That means you're needed, and that means you must do it. You have a duty to be you. Somebody out there is literally waiting for you. It's about your contribution. That's why we're here every day. 844-747-2577. What is the work that matters deeply to you? How do you get there so you can reclaim those Monday mornings? The email to the show, ask@kencoleman.com. Website, of course, kencoleman.com. Engage with us on Instagram at Ken Coleman. 844-747-2577. Let's get it started off in the city of brotherly love. Michael is on the line in Philadelphia. Michael, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
How are you, Ken?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
Good. So a few months back, I went through a couple rounds of interviews with a great company for a position that was probably a little bit above what I was ready for, but the wrong company would have been a great next step in my career. I did not get the role, and I understand why they selected the person they did. That being said, I still want to work for this organization. What do you suggest the way to stay on the radar of leadership there without sounding desperate or creepy? Something similar opens up, I want to be considered for it.
Yeah, I mean, first thing is before you re-engage, have you addressed what you think you understand as to why you didn't get the job?
Yeah.
Okay, you have.
I know, you know, it was probably a little bit of a too senior a role for me at
okay.
the time.
Okay.
And I think I could have done the job, but just from the experience and qualifications, the person that they hired had 15 to 20 years more experience than I did.
Well, then here's the deal. Don't overdo it. And the way to not be desperate is to not be desperate. So don't act desperate. You won't come across as desperate. I know that's deep. Aren't you glad you called for that unbelievable advice? But I mean, in all seriousness, think about that. So what is a not desperate way to reach out? If you haven't done it already, the only advice I'd give is to reach out to the leadership, whoever the HR contact was. I would include them in this, and whoever the other leaders were that you engaged with. And I would say, hey, I totally understand why I didn't get it. I have a great affinity, admiration for this company, and I want to work for this company, and here's why. So I would love to be considered for other positions where I am a better fit, and I will stay in tune with what's going to be available, but I just wanted you to know why I want to be where you are, and give them the why. Don't tell them how great you are and all these things. Just say why. They need to know, man, this guy is, he's passionate about the mission, the purpose of the organization, and he aligns with what we're doing, and boy, that's good to know. Let's figure out a place for this guy. That's how you do that, and that's not desperate. In fact, that is standout type actions there. Standout. Because you're not selling yourself. You're just going, hey, grateful for the opportunity. I understand why it didn't work. Totally agree with it. I probably overshot a little bit because I love the company and love the mission and want to be there. And so I'll keep my eyes out for something that's a better fit. But I wanted you to know why I desire to work here. And that is class. I love that strategy. Keep it simple, folks. Don't overdo it. Let's go to Giovanna, who's on the line in Surprise, Arizona. Giovanna, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
I am living the dream, Giovanna. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good. How can I help?
Well, I've been starting a career change. I've been starting a career change since April, and I've been working temporary and part-time minimum wage jobs. I'm going to the library field, and I've been working as a volunteer at a library close to my home.
Okay.
And it's been hard to get in. I've been working at similar jobs with similar experience. What's been hard so much is when I got the interview, I didn't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wanting to know. I feel stuck in this process.
Mm-hmm.
I went, applied, and I did get a second interview.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently unemployed and I'm on disability, so I don't know if I should find a career that is more, trying to work career that is more into my field.
Well, what's
I,
your,
was, I was in a housekeeping field.
Oh, okay. But you want to be in the library world. That's the, you want to work for a library. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Okay. And is your disability, would it hamper your ability to get back into the housekeeping world?
No. No, I have Asperger's syndrome, and sometimes it's hard to communicate, and sometimes it's to me to read social clues, and it also hampers me with interview because I have a big fear of interviewing.
Sure, of course.
And sometimes it hampers me to have interviewing skills, and also to have communication.
So you've gotten, are these interviews that you've had so far that you were just telling us about at the libraries or library, were those in-person interviews?
Yes, they're in-person interviews.
Did you tell them right at the start that you have, did you say Asperger's? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Did you tell them that you have that?
No. I'm doing it so Elizabeth wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I've been in working with other employment that has been suited for.
Yeah.
Suited for my disability. I've been to programs.
But let me ask you this.
Rehab.
Let me ask you something, because I think you might be surprised with what I'm going to tell you. If they had given you the job, how confident are you that you would have been able to do the job and do it well?
I'll be able to do it well. I've been volunteering for 6 months already. I can do the job. I'm confident.
Okay,
it's just
listen.
The interview process.
I get it. I totally get it. I've talked with folks like you who have some type of a social challenge due to something. I'm going to tell you a little bit different strategy. I think that the next time you get an interview, I would stay with it. The opportunity. I mean, go back and do some housekeeping to get paid. You need to get paid right now and get some more stability. But the next time you get an opportunity like that at the library or whatever, or you're over there volunteering now, I would address the Asperger syndrome right out of the gate. I would. I would start the interview by going, well, I need to tell you this. I've got Asperger's syndrome, and this is what it causes. It makes me extremely full of anxiety in an interview process like this, and it creates challenges in reading social cues and things of that nature. Just tell them exactly what the challenge is, because here's why. It'll take the awkwardness out of the room. You didn't tell them you had Asperger's syndrome, and so they're sitting across from you going, and they're uncomfortable. You know it, I know it. Take the elephant out of the room. Tell them what's going on. Doesn't hamper you from doing the job. Own it. This is The Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. It's the Ken Coleman Show, coming to you from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, Tennessee. Thrilled to have you with us. This is where we help you get clear and get qualified and connected and started and promoted and step into that work that you've dreamed of, so that you can work like nobody else, because you give yourself away. Your work is not about you, it's about others. And that is the path that we are illuminating here at the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2239. 2577. The email address is ask@kencoleman.com. We'll get to your emails a little bit later in this segment. But let's go to Marshall, Texas, where Stephen is on the line. Stephen, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Afternoon, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help today?
Okay. I'm 46 years old, married with 2.5-year-old twin girls, and my wife and I have a business that we've grown over the past 16 years, and mm-hmm. it's not necessarily something I'm super passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I read your book. I took a strength finder's test, mm-hmm. and I've been on a real quest for the last year anyways, and I just want to see if you think that I'm on the right track.
Well, what is the track that we're assessing? Your company?
Okay.
Is that what we're assessing?
No.
Okay, so you got to tell me what the path is.
Starting. Okay. Starting a career as a professional speaker.
Okay, that's what you want to get clarity on. Is that the right direction for you?
Yes, and okay. I've already taken some steps in that direction.
What have you taken, and has it clarified anything, or is it still a bit of a mystery?
It has really clarified a lot for me.
Okay, what is it? So what am I? So when somebody says to me, "Ken, am I on the right path?" I mean, it boils down to this. Is professional speaking in your sweet spot? That's what I teach. There is a sweet spot that every person has. Okay. And it's a wonderful little metaphor because it implies exactly what it means, meaning that when you hit a ball on a tennis racket, a golf club, or a baseball bat in the sweet spot of that instrument, then it is perfect contact in the sense that it feels effortless. It is the maximization. I shouldn't even use the word perfect. That's not true. It's a maximized strike. Okay. And so it is maximum efficiency. It feels effortless. It's beautiful. That's flow in our work life. So when I say that to you, that means that there are multiple jobs or career paths within one's sweet mm-hmm. spot. So when you say, Ken,
yes,
I want to be a professional speaker, I say, okay, have you assessed whether or not it's in your sweet spot, meaning your top talents and skills mm-hmm. and strengths, those are the tools by which you will use those to speak professionally. And there is a why. Yeah. Why are we speaking professionally? And so that comes down to passion. And if you love speaking and you love the message by which you are communicating and the results that the message creates, then I would say, yes, you're on the right path. So are you on the right path? Is it in your sweet spot? Do you know what you do best?
Yes.
Which is?
My strength is I'm an achiever, hard worker. I'm an activator. Mm-hmm. I make things happen. Mm-hmm. And I want to make a big impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, do you have the communication skills? Is communicating, whether it be 1-to-1 or 1-to-10 or 1-to-100, is that one of the things you do best? Are you a good communicator?
Yes.
Okay. You paused. Are you good or are you not?
Oh, I'm the best.
Okay. Well, now that's too big of a leap.
No.
Yeah. So you get what I'm saying. I know you're joking, but in all seriousness, what you just gave me are some of your, I love Strengths Finder 2.0. I think it's a great book, but that's a general category of strengths. Within strengths, I want to know, if I interviewed everybody that knows you best, what would they say your top three things that you do best? What are they?
I love to encourage people. Mm-hmm.
That's passion. You just told me what you love, which is great. Yeah. Let's keep going. That's passion. You love to encourage. What else do you love to do?
I'm a storyteller.
Boom. Great. Check. What else? Let me ask you. Do you love to perform?
Yes.
Do you like to perform?
Yes.
Yeah. You got to. Because see, performance is not exclusive to musicians or actors.
Right.
If you want to be a professional speaker.
In the Enneagram,
speaker,
I'm a performer helper.
Okay, great. All right. So this is in your sweet spot. Now, the good news is you're an above average or average communicator. So it's something that you do well, but you can get better at that. That's the good news.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I got to tell you, of all the things that you can guarantee that you can get better at by just simply doing it over and over and over again, it is creating content and delivering that content. So,
right.
I think you're on the right path because there's no question that you have a strong desire to communicate a message that will help folks. So congratulations, man. You have completed stage one of living the dream, and that is getting clear. And so you're clear. You know what you want to do, and you know why you want to do it. So now you need to just soak in that confidence because next it's about getting qualified. Stage two on the climb up the mountain is getting qualified. And getting qualified as a professional speaker is a little bit different than getting qualified as a mechanical engineer. There's no piece of paper, per se, that says, this is now a qualified speaker. It's a little bit different. And the way you get qualified as a professional speaker is speak a lot where you probably won't get paid.
Yes.
And you get better at it. And then qualification is determined by the audience who says, we want more of what you are offering. So once you get qualified and you begin to get paid, then and actually while you're getting qualified, it's stage two and three together. While you're getting qualified, you want to get connected. You want to be around people that are public speakers and really observe them, hone your craft, learn a lot from them on their journey. That's going to help you get to the point where you get promoted after kind of getting started in this whole thing of just taking any gig that's possible. So this is your path. Get clear, which you are. Get qualified, get connected, get started by just speaking anywhere and everywhere, and eventually the audience will promote you. That's how that's going to work. You'll start getting paid for it, but it's going to take some time, so understand you're going to have a day job while you go. Let's see, Joe. We got time. Let's do a little electronic mail.
Ken's electronic mail.
You've got mail.
Mariah writes in, I am due to have my first child. Oh, I went to the wrong one here. Let me jump ahead. Whoops, here we go. Josh writes, if I am interviewing for grad school and there are multiple people in the interview, do I send a thank you note to each person or just the admissions counselor? So, Josh, I would answer that question with a question. Do you want to impress just the admissions counselor or would you like to impress everyone that's in the interview? It's obvious. You want to impress everyone. So you write the note to everyone. Next, we get an email from Yaroslav. Hope I said that right. In your guide at kencoleman.com, how to write the perfect resume, you have an example at the bottom of the guide. Do you actually suggest to write the resume with those titles, who I know, why I want to be here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Or do you just put referrals, personal statements, talents? Here's the deal, Yaroslav. Do it exactly the way I tell you to do it. We take a picture of it, and that's what you're referring to. There's an actual graphic at the end of the how to write the perfect resume, and do it exactly that way. Now, I will tell you, the team is working on this right now. We're going to upgrade that current resource that's free at kencoleman.com, and we are going to put an actual template in there. So all you have to do is type in your information, and it'll populate it for you. That's going to solve a lot of these questions. But yes, we are hearing every day and every week and every month that employers are loving the Ken Coleman resume. It really stands out, which makes you stand out. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm also a man of the people. I'm always looking out for you folks. And that's why I got to tell you about my friends at ZipRecruiter, because here's what I know. I talk to you folks. It's mind-numbing. It is stress-inducing. It is anxiety-driving to put yourself out there and apply, because everything is automated now, and so many times you have to do a resume over and over and over and over, and then there's the part of waiting. Oh my gosh, the waiting, right? Do they even see my resume? Am I going to the great digital dumpster in the sky? This is why ZipRecruiter is the best. They are the number one job hiring site in the United States. Their service is free to you. Free. One-click apply feature. Get that profile filled out at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. And fill out that profile. They begin pitching you, promoting you, connecting you, and you get updates every time somebody looks at your profile, likes your profile, and even asks for your contact info. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's free. It's the best way to get hired. Go. Coming to you from Nashville in our Ramsey studios, this is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, so happy to have you with us as we help you get clear so that you can get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job, so that you're not like 70% of Americans who hate Mondays. You're doing meaningful work that allows you to give yourself away. That is the Mount Everest. That is your summit. You all long for it. You may not have seen it that way before, but that's why people are so unhappy at work. They might be good at their job, but there's no connection to the work. There's no passion. So let's help you get clear. 844-747-2577. We're going to go to Santa Clarita, California, where Christian is on the line. Christian, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. So I love my job. I like what I do. However, it's not my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. There's still something inside of me that wants to do more. I'm a paralegal by trade. I work for local government. However, my dream desire is to have my own self-help legal center. Mm-hmm. So I went to my employer and, you know, kind of presented this idea to them and see how I can kind of implement it in my current role. Well, the restrictions that I have is I can work outside and volunteer outside of my employer, but it can't conflict with my current position, which is technically what I want to do.
Well, how does it conflict?
So essentially, the areas of law that I'm interested in is family law. Mm-hmm. That's my passion. It's something personally that I've experienced, and mm-hmm. I kind of want to help people who are less fortunate or don't have the financial resources to be able to navigate that field. That's mm-hmm. my desire. Okay. That's my why.
Right.
But that's what I do for a living, but I do it from a different perspective. Like, I feel like the people are not getting as much as they could because we're a public service agency. Right. And if I were an individual, I could do so much more.
Right. So the only thing, I just wanted to make sure I understood all that, because you're a paralegal for the government that kind of provides the same
Correct.
Services. And so of course you can't go do that on your own, the same kind of thing while you're employed for them. So I totally understand that. So all you got to do Correct. Is, we have a couple things here that we look at. Number one, you change your current day job. So we hold off on the dream. We're not going to launch mm-hmm. the self-help legal center yet until we get you in a position where there's no conflict of interest by you doing it on the side, because you need to do this on the side. I think that's what you've identified, right? And build it up until,
right.
Okay, so you just need to, as a paralegal, can't you move rather easily and do different type of paralegal work?
Well, I work for local government, so the only areas I can work in would be like family law, bankruptcy, workers' comp, which I do all three right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would actually have to change, I guess, who I work for.
That's what I'm talking
se.
About.
I could
That's
go
what I'm
private.
That's what I'm talking
yeah, I
about.
I could go private.
Yeah, now
I could
here's,
definitely go private.
Well, I want you to, and I'll tell you why. Because that takes away your restrictions and conflict of interest stuff, and then you do it on the side. You've got to be in a different space. So we got to avoid conflict of interest, right? And
right.
So the way you avoid the conflict of interest is go private in another, in a different sector, as a paralegal, and then you launch your family law on the side. So that way there's no crossover at all, but we've got a solid day job, which is funding mm-hmm. the launching of the dream job. That's all you got to do. It's not that complicated. I just want you to get confident about it and go, okay, that's the right plan. I need to get in a different legal field as a paralegal, or excuse me, a different legal area, and then I can launch my dream. Make sense?
And It does. It makes sense. And I think ultimately, I've kind of answered my own question. It's really the fear of jumping from public sector to private, because yeah. I started in private sector, and yeah. it's, you always kind of feel like you have that pink slip.
Yeah.
Because it's performance-based, especially in the legal world.
Yeah.
If you're not profitable, you're yeah, disposable.
But you're not. Yeah, let's be honest.
Right.
If you're just really honest with me right now, you know you've got what it takes.
Absolutely.
All right, then.
Absolutely,
but here's the other thing. I love that you use this analogy of jumping. You go, well, I'm just scared of jumping. You should be scared of jumping because you're not going to jump, so you don't have to be scared. What does jumping mean, Christian? I mean, let's just be silly right now and simple to help you with this fear, because a lot of people right now going, oh my gosh, I'm the same way Christian is. What are we afraid of? The jump. Well, the jump is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But who said we're jumping? How about stepping effortlessly from one thing to the next? So you stay in your current day job. You begin to use your relationships, identify opportunities through those relationships, leverage those relationships again once you've identified opportunities. Go, hey, you know anybody that works over there? And we get real recommendations. You're not just applying blindly. And you're going to go get a great paralegal job. And you're not going to resign from your government paralegal job, your current day job, until you've got the other job waiting. And it's kind of really nice and simple, no stress. And then the minute you step into that new legal space, now the conflict of interest is gone, and we can begin to slowly, and I mean slowly, start small, grow slow, the family legal business on the side. You got this, Christian. That's all it is. There is no jumping. Here's what jumping is. Here's what jumping is. I'm quitting today, Ken. I'm fired up. Woohoo! And we got nothing waiting for us.
Right.
Now, what happens when we do that? Well, high rate of splatting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the cartoon character. You know, we hear him, wee! You know, and it's kind of the...
Right.
But that's not what we're doing. So therefore, Christian, you don't have anything to be afraid of. You are a very talented woman who is extremely clear about what it is she wants to do. And so the first step in launching this dream is you've got to get out of the conflict of interest situation and get into a just different space. It's not your dream. It's not the paralegal work that you have always dreamed of doing, but you're good at it, and your attitude's going to be awesome because you know it's funding your future.
Exactly.
So go, Christian, go. Love it. Folks, I got to tell you something. I really enjoy that call because I think, again, it highlights, you take a lady like Christian. I mean, we're talking about super sharp. She's got it going on. Very intelligent, very passionate, truly a brave lady. And yet you see, she's struggling with a fear of something that's not actually worth being afraid of. Well, I'm afraid of the jump, Ken. Well, we're not jumping. Don't jump. Don't jump. There's no reason to jump. Not in this context that we're talking about here. There's no reason for you to jump off of a cliff to do the work that you love. You plan for it. You get qualified. You save. You wait. You're patient. That's why I love to reference the scene from Braveheart. I'm going to say it again. The Scots are down on their knee with these 20-foot spears they've crafted out of tree limbs, and the English are on horse thundering down the hill at them. And as they begin to get close to where they can see the English eyes, you hear Mel Gibson, who plays William Wallace, go, he can tell, he can feel his army getting a little tense, getting a little jumpy. What does he say? Hold. And the hoofs get louder, and he goes, hold. Why does he go up? He goes up because he feels their tension and their anxiety building. They were ready to jump. They're jumping. They want to pull the spears now. And he goes, hold, until the last second, the right time. So hold. 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 Don't jump. Hold until, as my mentor Dave Ramsey says, that boat gets closer and closer to the dock. When the boat gets right up next to the dock, what do we do? Do we jump? No. We step. up out of the boat onto the dock. You want to step up, you're going to have to learn the discipline of holding. Oh, that's good, folks. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, America. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear on what it is that you were created to do. Once you get that clarity, it's all about getting qualified. And while you're getting qualified, you don't have to just sit there and only learn and do what it is that you need to learn to do. You need to be connecting using the proximity principle, which says in order to do what you want to do, you've got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it is happening. It's our best-selling book. You can get it wherever books are sold, kencoleman.com. It'll tell you the right people and the right places that you need to be around and in. And here's the beauty of that formula. When I am around the right people and in the right places, opportunity finds me. Now, how exciting is that? Some of you out there going, Ken, I don't know that I've ever experienced that. I don't know that opportunity has ever showed up at my door and went, hello. But that is possible. How? It happens when you're around the right people. It happens when you're in the right places. And you continually show up around the right people and in the right places. I know, it's crazy, crazy complicated, isn't it, folks? Sometimes I speak in crazy scientific terms, and it's over your head. I jest. It's as simple as it gets, but grab it, and it's life-changing. It's profound in its power. Proximity positions me where I need to be and propels me to where I want to be. That is proximity. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Melissa, who is on the line in Fort Lauderdale. Melissa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help?
Okay, long story short, I'm 25 years old. I'm currently a flight attendant. I do love my job, but it's not like my forever career. I kind of just did it to travel and stuff. I've always been drawn to two different careers. The first is a physical therapist. Mm-hmm. I did start going to school for that, so I have my associates, but I still have about 5 years left. Mm-hmm. I can cash flow through my bachelor's, but once I get to the PT program, I'm going to have to take out like a pretty big amount of student loans.
Why? Hold on. Why do you think that that's the case?
Just because, like, statistics that I've read, like, most people come out with, like, $100,000 in student loans because it's, like, $30,000 a year.
Okay. Well, hold on a second. There's no reason why you have to go get that in the form of a loan. At the end of this call, I'm giving you a copy of my pal Anthony O'Neill's book, Debt-Free Degree. Now, this might take you a little bit longer, but here's the deal. For everybody who poo-poos the idea that you can cash flow your way even at $30,000 a year, for anybody who says that, they're the ones whose whole life is revolving around their student loan. Well, they got their degree faster than you, but guess what? They don't have peace as quickly as you do because they're literally getting up every day staring at the mountain of debt that they felt they just absolutely had to take on so they could get the degree faster. Whereas you're 25 and a very successful flight attendant who should not only just cash flow your bachelor's in the remaining time you've got there, but also cash flow the other. And I would also challenge you to look at other PT schools and look for the most affordable option because guess what, Melissa? Nobody cares where you get your PT certification from. Nobody cares. Do you remember the last time you went to the doctor? Can you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Before the doctor saw you, did you tell the nurse, you know how the nurse puts you in the room and does your vitals and says, okay, the doctor's going to be with you. Did you say, excuse me, ma'am, or excuse me, sir, could you please bring me the doctor's degree in the frame on his office? Well, I'd like to look at that before we go through with this. Did you say that?
No.
Okay. So how much research have you done on all the different ways to get where you want to go as a physical therapist and really have a, let's call it a beer budget, wine budget and a champagne budget. Have you looked at all those? Because we get hung up on the champagne and we go, wait a second, at the end of the day, I just got to get the certification, right?
Yeah, I've done a pretty good amount of research.
What's the cheapest option?
I think it's like $14,000 a year.
That's awesome. But that's fantastic. Yeah. You can do that. All right, now.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal. I had to jump on that. Yeah, there's no mm-hmm. way I want you to accept that lie that you just go ahead and swallow $100,000 in student loan debt. That is absolutely ridiculous, and I don't want you to do that. Now, what's the other thing you've dreamed about besides physical therapy? There was one other one. What is it?
The other was the real estate.
Ooh, I got an idea.
Yeah.
I got an idea, but I don't want to give the idea okay. first. Okay, let's do a quick psychology experiment. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do this. You have to follow along. If I was going to guarantee you success in both fields, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine in your mind what success is in both of those fields. I guarantee I give it to you, but you have to choose one. Which one do you choose right now? Go.
Physical therapy.
Okay, great. Great. Now, do you mind me asking how much you make right now as a flight attendant?
I make about $30,000.
Okay, great. Why do you like real estate, that idea of real estate? Tell me what appeals to you.
Mostly like the flexibility, like making my own money, because I get bored easily and I feel like it's something that I can like do at my own pace pretty much.
100%.
Make as much or as little money, yeah.
I've got an idea. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
I'd like to see you get qualified right now as a flight attendant, get qualified, pass your real estate stuff, get into real estate, and go all in on real estate. The state, mm-hmm. but you understand what I'm saying? But you build up to it, okay? So
yeah.
Even when you're off, you know, even with your flight schedule, you can show homes at nights and weekends, and, you know, I think you can be successful. I really do. But get the real estate business going to where you replace your flight attendant income by being a realtor. Then go all in go crazy for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And start selling homes. And you know where I'm going, don't you?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that too. But.
Listen, that's the best way to cash flow the bachelor's degree and then cash flow the $14,000 a year option of PT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeehaw.
That's true.
And Melissa, then you're doing what you love before the age of 30. Do you realize how rare of an animal you will be at that point?
That's my goal.
No, listen, that's your reality. Say it.
That's my reality.
I'm telling you right now, that's the play. Because in real estate, you can make more money faster, and you actually you enjoy real estate. It'll give you the flexibility, but then you'll mm-hmm. be on fire because you go, I'm actually doing something I always thought might be cool, but I'm doing it now to fund my physical therapy role that I really dream about. And then here's the best part. You can still be a realtor kind of on the side if you want to.
That's true.
Oh my gosh, I love when people call and they get everything they want. I mean, here's the deal. I'm being silly right now because it's Halloween. I'm starting to see people in the lobby through the glass here. I got Darth Vader like directly across from me, Melissa, so I'm feeling really froggy. But the bottom line is, you can do all of this. Everything mm-hmm. we just said, you can do. And it will that's fund awesome. Your future. So that's what I'd like to see. If you agree with that, if your heart goes, yep, Ken's mm-hmm. right, then that's the path. And oh my gosh, how much better does that feel knowing that nowhere in the new story that we crafted does $100,000 worth of debt exist? Am I right or wrong?
Yes, you're definitely right.
Oh, Melissa, you're free before you ever put on the shackles of debt. Literally, Melissa was staring at a prison cell. She really was. She's staring at a prison cell of debt, $100,000 of debt she's staring at. She thinks, I got to go in debt $100,000 to get my dream. And that's absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. You don't have to do it that way. And so now she's free long before she ever stepped in to debt. Well, we've had a theme today, haven't we? Fear. I got to assume debt to get to where I want to go. Folks, the way that everybody else does it is not always the way. In fact, it's rarely the right way to go about it. Stay connected with us at kencoleman.com. Ton of great resources and on social media. That music means our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.